Here's your money briefing for Thursday, February 4th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Paying for a college education can be one of a family's biggest financial undertakings, but receiving financial aid can make it a lot easier. Last month, we explained why it's crucial for families to fill out financial assistance forms, but it's just as important to know what comes next.
You should really look at things like, you have to look at the total cost of the school or the net cost, what a family is going to pay out of pocket, which is after the scholarships and grants. And then you can compare it on an apples-to-apples basis.
Coming up, our contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk will tell you where to look for scholarships and grants and why families might not see a cent of that money if they don't write a thank you note. Yeah, that's after the break. A few weeks ago, we called on WSJ contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk to explain why filling out the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, or FAFSA, is an important step in families receiving financial assistance for college. But that process doesn't end there. Cheryl is back to explain what parents and students need to know next to unlock money for college. Cheryl, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So last month, we discussed the importance of filling out the FAFSA, but let's talk next steps. Once families submit the form, what should they do while they wait to see what offers from schools come in?
Well, to some extent, it is a bit of a waiting game, waiting to see what your offers are. But that doesn't mean you can't do, you can do absolutely nothing. For example, you can be looking for scholarship opportunities. Many scholarships are on a rolling basis, and it's good to get them applications in early. So you could be certainly doing that and thinking about other ways you may pay for aid or for college, I should say. And the other thing that you can be doing is kind of thinking through your finances to figure out, you know, what if the aid offers come back and there's no grants or scholarships, is this school feasible? Just so you have a sense in your head before the offers come back.
So if families get offers from several schools, how should they sort through them from a financial perspective?
You really should start by looking at how much free money is being offered through scholarships and grants. Loans are going to have to be repaid, but scholarships and grants won't. So if a school is giving you more in scholarships and grants, even a school that costs more may ultimately be a better deal than one that you have to take out more loans for. You should really look at things like, you have to look at the total cost of the school or the net cost, what a family is going to pay out of pocket, which is after the scholarships and grants. And then you can compare it on an apples to apples basis.
Okay, so is the issue here that families just don't spend enough time comparing and contrasting offers?
It's not a matter of taking enough time. It's a matter of getting very confused. There's no general aid offer form that's used, that colleges use. You can get, you know, apply to 10 different schools and get 10 different offer letters. And that makes it very confusing. There are legislative efforts to change this, and there are hopes that in the future there will be a standard form. But that's really the issue, is that you're looking at terms that look unfamiliar, and every school does it somewhat differently, and that makes it much harder to compare things on an apples-to-apples basis.
Now, let's say you get money from the school of your choice, but it's not as much as you'd like. Do you have any options?
So there's no guarantee that you're going to get additional money, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't ask. And especially this year, every year there's a process called professional judgment. And that means that financial aid counselors have the authority to review your financials and to see if more aid can be given. This year in particular, more families had their incomes affected by the pandemic, and there may be more issues. And this is why. So if you're applying for school in the 21-22 year, you're using your financials from 2019. And there's a world of difference, or there could be a world of difference for some families between 2019 and now. The thing to remember when you ask for professional judgment is that you're going to need to present some proof. So you can't just say, well, my parent lost a job. Okay, you need to present, say, unemployment information, for example, or that you filed for unemployment, some kind of tangible proof. Financial aid counselors need to use 12 months of income, but there's nothing that says which 12 months they have to use. So there is some flexibility in this process, but you have to know to ask.
Oh, so it's almost like an appeal.
Financial aid officers tend to hate the word appeal, but in reality, that's really what it is.
Okay. Now, you mentioned scholarships before. Are there a lot out there?
Yes, there are definitely tons of scholarships that are available. One place you may want to start is with your local high school, or if you're involved in a religious organization or a civic group or something, because some of those tend to be less applied to. So a local scholarship may be fewer applicants versus a national scholarship. But there are many scholarship sites that you can search, and some of them may have the same, but some of them may be different. So maybe you sign up with one or two or maybe three of these national scholarship sites. And the one thing you may want to do is create, because you may be getting a lot of email from them, you may want to set up a separate email for that. Just be sure to check it. The other thing is sometimes schools have requirements for before a certain aid can be dispersed. So if you have a grant or a scholarship, you might have to write a thank you note to the provider before you can actually get that money. So just check with the school when you accept the aid to see what, if any, other requirements are there.
Wait, a thank you note? Not some kind of acknowledgement note, but like a charming thank you note? Why would they require that?
Well, I think it's just a matter of showing students that money doesn't grow on trees and teaching them the idea of being appreciative for the things we're given. I mean, in some cases, these scholarships are worth a lot of money. And I think the scholarship providers want to know that it's going to students who are appreciative, because otherwise, there are so many people who need money. And if you're being chosen for something, I really think it's just the right thing to do.
Oh, okay. And, you know, there are definitely several avenues for families to explore getting aid. But I'm thinking in particular about loans. Aren't they like a double-edged sword? They can help a student get into college, but could also saddle them with debt later on.
But you don't actually have to take everything you've been offered. So for example, a lot of times schools will just automatically assume you're going to accept the grant or scholarship, because why wouldn't you take the free money? But when it comes for a loan, if you don't need it, you don't have to accept it. And you don't even have to accept the whole amount. Let's just say, for argument's sake, you were getting a $2,000 loan, a federal loan. You don't have to take $2,000. Let's say you can only take $500. So taking federal loans in some cases can help the student build credit, especially if the parent is planning to pay back that money. It's actually a tool that many families use to help their children build credit. But you don't have to take more than you think you need.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal contributor Cheryl Winokur-Monk. Cheryl, thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for the Wall Street Journal.